We want to do now the second blessing of Rosh Hashanah, which is a Chronos. That's this map is a. It's on page 200. Okay, so we'll start with this. So you usually get a good idea what a blessing is if you look at the way it ends. Page 202, the end of the blessing ends, Baruch Ato Hashem, because the last few words of a long bracha are supposed to be an encapsulation, to encapsulate the message or the theme of the bracha. So it says, Baruch Ato Hashem, Zocher HaBris. This blessing, the point of this blessing is, God remembers the covenant or the agreement or the commitment. That there's a commitment that we made with Hashem commitments. We call bris, as a bris of Har Sinai, that's the main bris. Then there's other britot along the way. There's bris mila. There's a bris of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. There's different times that there was this formal, almost like a treaty or an agreement or a joint commitment between us and Hashem. So Hashem, Zocher HaBris, He remembers the bris. He remembers the commitment. Now when we say Zocher HaBris, the main thing that we're focusing on when we say it is that Hashem does His part of the bris. And we will do our part of the bris. That's sort of... When we said the Malchus, when we said the first blessing of Malchus, we accepted Hashem as Melech, means as the Mitzvah, as the one who gives us the mitzvahs and tells us the way to live and the way to behave and what to do. So that's our commitment to Abris. And then the second blessing after Malchus is accepting the bris from our perspective. And then when you have Zichronos, this bris, this blessing, is that we're saying Hashem keeps His bris. He's the Zocher HaBris. He keeps His side. He's committed to us. And that's the focus of the whole blessing. The whole blessing's focus is Hashem is committed to us. And because He's committed to us, He'll give us a good year. So going back to the beginning. So we say like this, back on page 200, we say like this. We go through. So we say like this. At the Zocher Ma'aseh Olam, Ufokei Kol Yitzurei Kedem. You God know everything which happened in the world. You also are aware of every creature. Lefanecha Niglu Kol Talumos. You know all the secrets. Hamon Nistarch Mebreishes. No, uncountable secret things since creation. You never forget anything. Nothing is ever hidden from your eyes. You know every action. And every creature cannot escape you. Everything is clear in front of you, Hashem Elokeinu. So from Abidat Sof Kol HaDorot, you look at all the generations till the end of time. Now there's coming a law of remembrance, to pay attention to every living spirit, to remember and mention all the multitude of actions and all the multitude of creatures without count. You told us this at the very beginning. And revealed it at the beginning. This day is the beginning of your works. It remembers the first day of creation. So, when Rosh Hashanah is the day of creation, Rosh Hashanah, God knows everything. And Rosh Hashanah is the day in which He pays attention to everything. Like through the course of the year, He knows everything, but He lets things ride, so to speak, or slide. Doesn't respond to everything. And Rosh Hashanah, He says, we're going to, now this is the day of the accounting. This is the audit. This is the day of the audit. We're going to go through everything and see what exactly it is. So he says, Ki chok li Yisrael, there's a law for Israel. Mishpat l'kei Yaakov, the Jews, the God of Jacob is making judgments. V'amidenot bo yomer, about different countries, it's going to be said, Ezel l'cherev, Ezel l'shalom, Ezel l'rov, Ezel l'sova. Which countries are going to have war, which will have peace, which will have hunger, which will have satiation. V'yot bo yipokedu, creatures are paid attention to, laskir m'chayam m'avet, to decide their life or death. Milo nifkat kiyomazeh, no one is left out today. Every creature and its fate is in front of you. What every person does and his fate, and all the actions that people do in their lives. Machsh was Adam, people's thoughts, tachbulotov, and plans. And people's desires, which they then do. Ashri yishlo yishkecheko. Praise is the person who doesn't forget you. V'nadam yidam etzbach. And a person who's strong with you. Ki doshech lo omer koshelo. Those who seek you will not stumble. V'lo yikam ones al kol achosim bach. And those who trust in you will not be embarrassed. Ki zeicha kol amas mefenecha ba. Every action is, which can be noticed, comes in front of you at the Dorish Maisa Chulam, and you examine the actions of all of them. Okay, this is a very somber, you know, statement and intro that God, we can't escape God's judgment and justice, and everything is looked at on Rosh Hashanah. The person who remembers this is praiseworthy. Others, unfortunately, can lose very bitterly because if they don't pay attention to this fact. Okay. Then, there's after this very somber and very serious introduction, he says like this, V'gamas Noach b'ava zechata. You remembered or you paid attention to Noach with love. V'tivkadeh b'dvay yishuv v'rachamim. And you paid attention to him by issuing a decree of salvation and mercy. V'yavachet me'am ma'abu l'shachas kol basen v'ayim al-aleim. When you brought the flood to destroy all people because of their evil ways. Al-kain, then, because of your love, zechonu bolo funecha. You remembered him, Hashem Elokeinu. Abod Zaro Kafos Tevel. You made his children or his offspring as many as the dust on of the world. Tzitzav Kachol Yom. And his offspring are as many as the grains of sand on the beaches of the sea. Kakatu B'Torotecho V'Yizkol Kim Et Noach V'Kol Achayim V'Kol Abem Hashitu B'Tevo V'Avolehim Ruach Alos V'Shok V'Maim. God remembered Noah and all the animals and creatures which were with him in the ark. And God sent the wind over the land, and the water went down. So that's the first thing. The first thing we say that we want to mention that Hashem saved Noah from a very, very dangerous situation. And from that saving of Noah, the whole world came. All of us are offsprings of Noach. Every person in the world comes from Noach. So, and it was very dangerous. The flood could have destroyed the ark. But God saved it. So, the way he did for Noach, he can do it for us. So, many of the Mefarshim say like this. They say, why did Hashem save Noach? Because it says, Noach is tzaddik, tamay b'derosov. Compared to everybody else, he was a big tzaddik in his generation. So you see like this, that even though, so one message we're getting is that God's mercy is for the each individual. It doesn't make a difference how many evil people there are around us, or what kind of world we're in. God could save me or my family, whatever can happen to other people. So that's a very, very big yisod, because you might think if the world is evil, so God will punish the world, so I'm lost no matter how many good things I do. So he says, no, you see from Noah that the individual, Hashem's love for the individual is greater than the evil of all of humanity put together. But one man is a tzaddik, he gets saved. And from him, God creates a whole new world. That's one idea. Another idea is, another idea is that that Noach, that some people say that he was trying to get the other people in the world to change. When he built the Teva, it was a big project. It took him a long time, and he talked to a lot of people about it. He said that things are dangerous. You have to change. He was trying to get other people to get better. So that was a sechus. That was a merit for him. Another thing is that Noach in the Teva, he took care of all the animals. It's a big job, hard work to take care of all these animals. So he got some merit for that, yes.
According to the Chassidus, is Noach considered that he was only a tzaddik in his generation, or because of his generation he was a greater tzaddik?
Well, there's two pshatim in Rashi about that. It's two ideas in Rashi. Chassidus, I don't know. I don't know which way Chassidus necessarily goes. But in this particular case here, because this pasuk of Noach comes into Zichronos, which is for us, so here we consider him a real big tzaddik, and as far as the Davin of Rosh Hashanah, and it's a matter for us that the person can be saved. The person's not... Hashem is going to really, whichever way you look at Noach, but Hashem is going to look at a person in his situation, irrespective of the people around him. I see people around him are very bad, but he's struggling. He's trying to stay good, so Hashem will love him for that struggle. So let's say you say Noach wasn't the biggest tzaddik in the world; he was relative, but he was struggling. He was trying to be a tzaddik. That's why God saved him. So if I'm struggling, I deserve to be saved. If we're struggling, we deserve to be saved. Okay, so, you know, if a guy's living, I guess maybe in a very religious place in Israel, so we don't struggle so much to be religious. But in New York, it's a struggle. It's a struggle because of all this, everything around us. So Hashem sees we're struggling, so that's a tremendous merit, the merit of Noach, to be a tzaddik when everybody else around is a rasha, trying to do the right things. In fact, there's so many people around us are doing bad things. A little bit that does make us stumble. We're not living in an isolated religious cocoon in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh, in Meir Shearim, let's say. But this struggle is a big merit for Hashem to says Noach Ba'av, or God loved Noach for what he was trying to do. Right. Okay, that's number one. Next, the next pasuk is V'ne'emar V'yishma Elokim et Nakasam V'yishka Elokim et Bito Da'avam et Yitzchak v'et Yaakov. This pasuk is talking about the Jews in Mitzrayim. They were slaved. God heard them screaming. You remember the covenant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So what they say, the Mefarshim say, is a similar concept, that the Jews in Egypt, they weren't the biggest tzaddikim in the world. They became very Egyptianized. They were worshipping idols, and doing other sins. But they were suffering for being Jewish. That's all. They were suffering for being Jewish. Maybe they weren't living very Jewish lives, but they were suffering. Because they kept their identity. That's one thing they didn't give up. They were a very strong Jewish identity. They didn't give up their language or the way they dressed. The basic everyday culture was Jewish. So God said, I remember them for the feast of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, so this is a very important theme, which is going to be repeated again and again here. The feast of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So we say like this. We say, this is a very important point, we say to Hashem, you invested in us because you chose Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And we're invested in you. Since we're Jewish, and we maintain the identity of being Jewish. We haven't, someone who's not in shul in Rosh Hashanah, so what's he going to say? He's not identified. But someone who's in shul, he says, I'm identified. So this identity causes it's a challenge to be identified as a Jew. Not so long ago, it was a Holocaust identity. And if you're in Israel, so the Arabs want to kill you. Arab terrorists. And if you're in France, Muslim terrorists are targeting you, and so on and so forth. So we keep the identity no matter what it takes. We have Mesiras Nefesh. We may not be doing mitzvahs the right way, but definitely we're ready to say that no matter what it means, we're staying Jewish. Why are we staying Jewish? Because this is what our parents were. Who are parents? Their parents. It goes back to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So we keep the identity of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's the bliss. On our side, so Hashem on his side says, now I save you. Because you are the children of Avraham. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were the total Jew. They identity, plus they did everything Hashem asked them to do. And more, and ready to give up, and they give up their lives for Hashem. So Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the founding fathers, are the main source of the bris. So what we're saying here in Rosh Hashanah is, we say, maybe it's not for us, but it's for Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The way you saved the Jews in Egypt, because they were the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so you'll save us. And you know, we're living in a, I don't think Jews were ever able to escape this destiny of being in mortal danger and needing Hashem to really save us. Right now we're in mortal danger, because if you think a little bit about the facts, just across the street in northern Lebanon, the Arab terrorists have 200,000 missiles pointed at Israel. Each missile could blow up a city block. So far, the guys there in Lebanon in the north haven't thrown even one of those 200,000 missiles. It's a mortal danger to every Jew in the country. If God forbid those missiles were ever used, the Israelis have no real solution. I was at a meeting a few years ago with Netanyahu's advisor on national security, came to Englewood and had a little parliament meeting, so for some reason I was there. So I asked him, what's your solution for the 200,000 missiles? So he basically told me, have faith in God, because he said, well, usually when they shoot missiles, they miss. That's not much of a strategy that they're going to miss, you know. They could. As you're saying, God will protect us. But they have no defense, because the Iron Dome has maybe 1,000, 2,000 rockets, so they could knock down one. They knock down one at a time with the Iron Dome. They can't knock down 200,000 missiles. They can knock down 2,000. Maybe they have 5,000 Iron Dome missiles. It's nothing when you have 200,000. Each Iron Dome missile costs them $100,000, so there's a price tag on this. So in any event, Hashem is always protecting us against amazing mortal danger. Just like in Egypt, he took us out of Egypt. So being Jewish means you have to always have that bris that Hashem is going to come through. Why? Because he chose Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what we say. Now this last v'nemav means in the future. The first one was he remembered the bris for the Jews in Egypt. The next one, I will remember the bris of Yaakov and Yitzchak and Avraham, and I remember the land. That's referring to after the great exile, God says, I'll bring you back to the land. After this is what we're seeing today. This pasuk, the Zechati is Bisiakov, Vo'oretz Eskar, is what we're living today. We're actually living this pasuk. 100 years ago, it was just a prophecy. Today, it's a reality. We're living Ha'aretz Eskar, the land, people coming back. So, why? Because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? By the way, it's backwards. It's in the first one that says, here it says Yaakov, then Yitzchak, and then Avraham. Because I think after the... when the Jews were in Egypt, so... they didn't have much of a claim themselves, the Jews, to be redeemed. You know, so the real claim was Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But this redemption after the long exile, we have a claim because we remained loyal for 1,900 plus years. We stayed Jewish. So that's why it begins with Yaakov. Zechati es b'yisi Yaakov, because Yaakov means the 12 tribes. The Jewish people have the merit. We have the merit of Yaakov, the merit of sticking it out. Mm-hmm. That the masses of Jews stick it out. As we're called B'nai Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, of Yaakov. So that's why it begins with Yaakov, and then Yitzchak, and then Abraham. V'oretz Eskar. Now V'oretz Eskar, Chazal say like this, that the land of Israel has its own bris with Hashem. Hashem made a covenant with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to take care of the Jewish children. Hashem made another bris with the land of Israel, that the land of Israel will get its Jewish children back. Why the land is loyal to the Jewish people? Because all the thousands of years that Jews were out, that land did not really allow anybody else to live in it. No one else was able to settle it. I once took a tour, I forgot the exact number, but the tour guide, he was talking about all the different nations and civilizations that tried to live in Israel while the Jews were out. There's well over 100 different nations, countries, groups, you know, Christians, Muslims, all kind of different types of Muslims, different types of Christians, all kinds of groups. None of them was able to successfully live there. Once the Jews came back in the 1900 or so, all of a sudden the land responds and go back to the land today. It's a beautiful country. It's only getting more beautiful. So, oh, it's because the land is loyal. And Hashem is loyal to the land. So we just want to mention this. This is very important for us, because our Rosh Hashanah, as we're living it today, we basically emphasize two things. One is the bris of Yaakov. We'll soon see the bris of Yitzchak is also, for us, a very big bris. And then the land. The meaning, the people of Israel have a tremendous merit at this point in Jewish history for redemption. And the land of Israel itself has a tremendous merit for redemption. Now, we'll come back to Yitzchak in a minute. So then he continues. It says in the Tanakh, I mean in the Ksuvim, in Tehillim, Zeich Aslan for also Chan Rachem Hashem. God makes his miracles apparent and he has mercy. God gives food to those who fear him and he remembers always his covenant. God will remember the covenant and have lots of mercy and console them. So this emphasizes all of a sudden we're giving Hashem emotions, saying God is Chanun V'Racham Hashem. He has, yes.
So I was wondering, is this more of a side point, but is Zichronos more of a national bracha, or is it more of, or is it also a personal bracha?
Excellent question. The words of Zichronos are national. But when you think about it, when you're saying it, you think also personal. But the actual words are all national. There's something in davening that the Chazal wanted people to daven for other people and more than for themselves. And if it says, Misha Mispal Ba'at Chaveiro, Hunen Atchila. If someone davens for someone else, then Hashem takes care of his requests. So that's how they wrote the tefillah. They wrote the tefillah for the nation. So we wind up davening for everybody. Of course, we need our own personal good year. But by focusing on the nation, we get the good year. That's there's some kind of a statement there in the Zohar that that's a tremendous merit for Jews that on Rosh Hashanah they don't really focus on each individual, doesn't focus, at least not in his words, on himself so much. In the words of the prayers, he's focusing on the nation. So that shows that's a tremendous zechus. It's a zechus of a person doesn't get so wrapped up in himself that he's thinking about others. But a person can't avoid thinking about himself. So you're supposed to think about yourself, but the words of the nation. Actually, when you want to, at the end of, or very end of the whole Shemona Esrei, you get to Elokai Netzar, so there you're allowed to add words. So there you should put in personal requests that you need for the year. You put that in all the way. Then you're not allowed to add the words over here. These words cannot be changed, added or subtracted in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. But at the very end, before you step back the three steps, you add the things you want to add for yourself. That's a very good point. Then he says, it says in the prophets, now these psukim always says Torah, Tehillim, and then Nevi'im. Usually the Nevi'im has to do with the future. So he says, Haloch, v'karasa basna Yerushalayim, go call to the Yerushalayim and say, Koma Hashem, God says, Zechalach chesed nuraych, remember the kindness of your youth, Avat l'usayach, when you were newly wed and the love, Lechtech achem b'mid b'vezlos, that you was loyal to me, you went after me in the desert. This is very personal. It's like a first-person statement. Hashem is talking to Israel. The Nehemiah says, V'zochat ani et b'si otach b'meinu rach. God says, I will remember that covenant with you from the days of your youth. V'akimosi lachit olam. And I'll keep the eternal covenant with you. 201, 202 it is. For Neman it says, Ephraim is a precious child. He's a little boy that I love to play with. When I speak of him, I think about him. My innards get all melted for him. So it's these psukim are incredibly warm, first-person psukim of Hashem speaking about His love for Jews. And the last pasuk of Ben Yaakov Ephraim is maybe the warmest of all the psukim. It speaks about God talking about us like a father about a child, my child. So now, after all of this that the psukim gave us, these various principles here of God's attachment to us through history, through his emotional part, his love and mercy, through his relationship as a father to children. So then we come to the request, God of our forefathers, give us a good decision. Make it the decision of salvation and mercy from the highest skies. And remember the covenant and the mercy and the oath which you swore to Avram Avinu and Ham Avia. V'telu fanecha, akeda, shakad Avram Avinu et Yitzchak ben Olgam Mizbechem. Remember the akeda which Avram Avinu put Yitzchak his son as a sacrifice on the altar. V'chav v'shvachma v'astu tzon b'lev shalem. He didn't give in to his mercy for his son. He rather did your will with a full heart. Cain, yichpeshu, v'chamechet kastam, let your mercy then overcome your anger. And in your great goodness, turn your anger away from your nation, your city, and your land, your inheritance, and fulfill the promise which you promised to Moshe, as it says, "V'sochatam lahem b'rus rishonim." I recall the earliest covenants. Asher tzeit otam as Mitzrayim lein nagam listam Elohim. When I took them out of the land of Mitzrayim, the nation soon now became their God and the Hashem. Kizocha kol nishkonchos atum elam. You remember everything which everybody forgets. Ain shechul nechisah v'odecha. You never remember, forget anything. V'akedet yisrael zariyam v'achem tizgan. Recall, if you can, the sacrifice of Yitzhak for his children in mercy today. So you finish off with the bris of Akedat Yitzhak. So things like this, Akedat Yitzhak is the big zechus of Zechronos, because he gave up his life for Hashem. And Avram gave up his son for Hashem. So, and that millions of Jews after them have given up their lives for Hashem. We just lost 6 million not so long ago in my parents' generation. So millions upon millions of Jews did Akedas Yitzchok. So it's the greatest chus. And there's no question about it. I mean, it's obvious that the state of Israel's birth 4 years after the end of the Holocaust was a direct result of that Mesiras Nefesh of Jews giving up their lives at such a level because they were Jewish, that created the return to Israel out of that. So the Tanya, the book the Tanya, he's trying to analyze the Jewish soul. What's the nature of the Jewish soul? So he says that the core of the Jewish soul is a piece of God. And that piece of God is what makes Jews always stick and even give up their lives for being Jewish and for being connected to Hashem. So it has nothing to do really so much with how much people know, how much Torah, or how many mitzvahs. There's a certain deep-rooted feeling that I've got to stay Jewish. And you see it in the Israeli army that it's overwhelmingly not religious Jews are going to the army. Why should they go to the army? The country's a very young country. Why would you want to go to the army? They're not okay, maybe you're born there, but your parents weren't born there. So there's something deep-rooted here, very deep in the soul, that we want to stay Jewish, we want the Jewish people, and I'm Jewish. And this nation, and this people must survive, and I'm ready to sacrifice my life for it. That's basically, we see that. We see that all over. I think that after the Holocaust, so many millions of Jews are committed today to be Jewish. After the Holocaust, that's the big schus of Akedas Yitzchak that our generation has. That's why I think our generation got the land of Israel. Other generations had it more tough. and mitzvos than we did. But no one has come close to the Mesiras Nefesh of the Holocaust. So this is what we focus on. So basically, what the Hasidic Sfarim say is that this blessing is basically the blessing of a love affair between God and Israel. God loves us, b'havascha, and he treasures us. And we love him and treasure him. Therefore, we get a good year. That's basically what it is. But the zichronos is, that's also could explain why it's on the national level rather than the personal individual, because the national has this very, very deep love relationship between the land, the people, and God, and the land of Israel. It's a national thing. And the individual is part of it, but it's, the individual himself has it more maybe hidden inside. Maybe he's not so aware of it. At a national level, it's very obvious that the Jews are very, very committed. And Hashem is very committed. Basically, another point I want to bring out is over here that the Rosh Hashanah davening is really an education. It's reasserting, bringing to the surface basic Jewish beliefs. When you say those words in the davening, it's like saying Ani Maamin, I believe. You make a statement, I believe this. The whole year, we don't get around to making these statements of belief. You know? But in Rosh Hashanah, we do it. This is a core belief, this core of the bris, an unshakable bond which can never be broken. And if you want, you could really say that that's the main complaint of the world against us, that the world doesn't like the fact that we are so committed, that we think it's unbreakable. But now the individual, now of course every individual wants a good year. So basically, another message we're getting from this is that if the individual identifies with this national commitment, that will get him the good year as an individual. I think that the Jews, in general, we things like this, that you're living in a world, the Western culture emphasizes the individual. It's a culture of the individual. The me, the now, has very little to do with national and history. In fact, in Europe, which is the center of Western culture, they're trying to remove the whole idea of national identities. So, you know, they made this, they took away, they make one currency, and they remove borders, etc. So they don't like nationalism. America also, the national pride which America used to have is way down, because it's part of this Western culture that the individual is king, the nation is secondary. Even the president of the United States, Obama, it's well known that he does very low opinion of American nationalism. He believes in the individual much more. So, you know, we Jews, we're very strong Jewish nationalists. So if you're living in, if you're exposed to the Western culture, your challenge as a Jew is to keep your national identity. That's your big challenge. Not to go like the other people around us, so strong as in my individual identity. I have to be more Jewish identity, more Am Yisrael identity. So that maybe you can claim is the number one challenge that at least the American Jews, the Western Jews face, maintaining national Jewish identity. If you're Israeli, maybe it's a little bit different, but if you're an American Jew, you have a big problem. There's so many American Jews have succumbed to this challenge, dropped out, intermarried, and that's it. Millions. So, this blessing here is a core statement of the national identity as connected to Hashem, to the point of ready to give a life. And Hashem's absolute commitment to us, no matter what anybody says. We happen to be blessed that we're living in a time where we have a state of Israel, because this theory is supported by facts on the ground. If we didn't have the facts on the ground, it would be much harder to say it with full belief. But when you have a state of Israel, it's easier to have full belief in this. Definitely. Especially, you know, if you just follow what's been going on there over the last, I mean, I've followed it a long time, but you have to have like a little bit of a long view perspective, not get too worried from the day to day. But if you look at the way things are going in Israel for 10 years, 20 years, you see amazing. It's absolutely amazing how Hashem is really taking care of an amazing way. Now, we have to, I think also, that since these dangers to Israel are still very, very strong, very strong, I have to daven for that. I know, Shoshana, that Hashem should help us go through the current dangerous situation, dangerous waters, the waters of the Mabul. Really, it's good that, but one thing is strange about this bracha is that it starts with Noach. Noach was not Jewish. The whole davening is purely Jewish. That Am Yisrael and Hashem. I mean, you mention the non-Jews. At the beginning of this blessing, you say God is judging the whole world, the non-Jews. But then you go over to the judgment of Jews and the Bris. So why do you mention Noach? So first of all, you could say that the reason he mentions Noach at the beginning, because he wants to put in a plug for all the people in the world that should have a good judgment. So you can't claim that God has a special covenant with the English or the French or the Americans. But he took care of Noach, so there's something called Bris Noach. God made a covenant with Noach that the world will never be destroyed. So we want the world to have also a good year, certainly the good people. So we mention Noach as a place where God saved people in general. That's one thing. But the other thing is that for us, Noach was living in, was survived a tremendously dangerous time. He was the only person alive in the ark, and there was raging waters. So could have capsized any moment. So God saved him in the most day. So we live The way we wrote these prayers were basically written for the Golos, for the exile. So it's a very dangerous situation for the Jewish people. So then we say, but Noach, he survived the most dangerous of all times, probably in the history of the world, the flood. So if he could survive the flood, because God loved him, so we can survive our dangers.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. You know, saying some good things in, the, in these various discussions here. That's a good one. So that's why we identify with Noach. The Mayor Maple. Yeah. Okay, so when let's since even though I didn't really prepare it, but we'll go to the next blessing if we have time. So the next blessing on page 203 is called the blessing of Shofros. Now it goes through the power of the shofar. You already heard a shiur, I believe, from Rabbi Brandstein, that the shofar is a prayer. The shofar takes the words and puts it into the sounds of the shofar. That's basically what's going on. So what Rabbi Soloveitchik, I believe, said, Rav, and many others have said, is that sometimes words fail. We can't put everything into words. So what you cry, that's has the so God hears the cry, so God puts all the words into it that we can't say. That's the power of the shofar. But this blessing is trying to somehow, it's called Shofros in the Gemara, and at the end of the blessing, you say, on page 204, Baruch Atah Hashem, again, you look at the last little Baruch at the end, you get the main idea. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shemei Kol Tuot Am Yisrael Berachmim. God will listen to the blowing of the Shofar in mercy. The shofar is a prayer. That prayer. So what I want to say is like this. We'll soon see that the shofar goes through history. So let's read this. At in the glaze of banan kodech lam kodchecho ledabi imam. In the shemaim mishmatam kolecho. In the glaze aleim ba'apele toah. So he says, you appeared with your glorious cloud, the holy nation, to speak to them. This is how Sinai. From heaven, you had them hear your voice. And you appear to them in the purity of this firmaments. Gam kala olam kula chom epinecha. At that time, the world was shaking. Uviot breached chadim in Mecca, and the whole world was terrified. Bigilotcha al king al Hasinai. When you, our king, appeared on Hasinai, the lamed amcha Torah mitzvot to teach your people Torah mitzvot, vatashmi emetot kolecha, and you heard them here. A glorious sound, voice. And your holy commandments from the fire. The call to Vrakim Aleim in the Glater. You appear to them with sounds and lightning. And you appeared in the sound of the shofar. It says, Mashlishi. The third day, morning, there was sounds and lightning, and there was a heavy cloud on the mountain, and there was a very strong sound of a shofar. The people in the camp were shaking. It says, the shofar's sound was very strong. Moshe spoke, and God answered him with the sounds. And it says, Chalam Momet HaKolot. All the people saw the sounds and the lightning, the sound of the shofar, the mountain was smoking, and the people were afraid, and they were shaking, and they ran away to stand far away. Okay, so the shofar was the shofar of Har Sinai. God appeared at Har Sinai with the shofar. It was a wake-up call. V'divrei kosher kotuv lehem, when it says in the Tehillim, Olakim b'su Hashem b'kol shofar. God appears with the sound of the shofar. And then b'chatzos b'kol shofar il melech Hashem. The sound of trumpets and shofar, trumpet in front of the God King. And it says, Tikku v'chod the shofar, blow on Rosh Hashanah the shofar, b'kes liyom chageinu, the holiday where God's sitting on his chair or something. It's not such an easy word, but kaseh. Ki chok v'Yisrael hu, it's a law for Israel, mishpat l'kayak, with judgment for the God of Yaakov. So basically, the Naaman, it says, ha'aluya ala v'kot shal v'kir zal v'givur, it's not go v'gulam seke shof, v'nei v'chein, v'sef v'mohol, v'nei v'gulam seke shof, v'nei v'chein, it says, praise God, praise Him in His holiness, from the sky and His power and all His greatness, and with the shofar and with the harp and with the violin, the drums and the dancing, flutes, and the cymbals, and the trumpets, and all of living things will praise God. Hallelujah. And it says, page 204, there will be in Hasu Lamar. Said by the prophets, call Yoshua Sable, the Sheikh, and the Oretz, and so on, Nesom, Tibach, Yoshua, and Tishmo. But in the future, all the people living in the world, when the flag will be raised on the mountain, they'll see it, and they will all hear the sound of the shofar. And Ammon says, by the Yomi, talk of the Sheikh, for God of Walking Bears, Hashuv, and the Doch of Bears, and Sime, Shal Shem Baglish, and Shalayim. And that future day, there'll be a great shofar. Those who are lost in the land of Ashur, or lost in the land of Egypt, will come and bow down to God and have a Kodesh Mishalayim. V'nehemav Hashem Aleim Yerev Vetzvah Kvach Yitzov Hashem Elokim Bashofar Yitgavav B'sav Teimon Hashem Tzavakot Yogen Aleihem Kein Tegelam Chayisov. It says God will appear to them like lightning will be His arrow. God will blow a great shofar, come in a whirlwind from Yemen, and God hosts will protect the Jews. Please protect the Jews with your peace. Came okay, v'teinu. Now there's a prayer. The kabbish of God v'teinu. Blow that great shofar to redeem us. Sanes the kabbish kol yotenu. Wave the flag to gather us. For kabbish and ben agoyim, bring us from all the nations. For tzeinu kaneis magazus, bring us from around the world. Haben v'sinyach v'bin v'shnayim mes midrash v'sim chazom. Bring us to sin v'shnayim with joy. V'sham nav nachas kovinot chavoteinu. Kimzu alem itav. We'll bring the sacrifices like it says in your Torah from Moshe Rav Techa. As it says. וביום שמחס ומודך משה חודשכם זכתם מחצוז ולצלכם על הזווחי שלמכם ופור לכם תקום לנשם לוקחם. The holidays, Rosh Chodesh, will blow with trumpets your sacrifices, and God will remember you. I am the Lord your God. Kata Shemer Kol Shofar Masin Tua Vindam Malach. You listen to the sound of the shofar. Boch Ato Shem Shemer Kol Tua Zam Yisrael Bachmin. God listens to the sound of the shofar with mercy. So things like this. It's a very, a little bit unclear blessing. So there are two main perushim, two main interpretations of the blessing. One interpretation is that the shofar accompanies the great events of Jewish history, starting with Matan Torah, which is the first greatest event in for ancient Israel, the giving of the Torah, that came with a shofar. In the future, the second greatest event, and maybe the greatest of all events, will be Mashiach, will come, will be a new Beis HaMikdash, third temple, that will be also with a shofar. So the shofar, beginning of Jewish history to the end of Jewish history. So what we're saying is, we're blowing a shofar. The shofar we're blowing represents all of Jewish history from the beginning to the end, from Matan Torah till Gula Shalema. So we're praying, let our shofar, which brings back all of Jewish history into our head, and we re-experience it, let it actually come to the final destination, which is redemption. It's a very interesting pshat, this pshat. It means that we go completely away from our individual needs. This is completely different from individual needs. It's just pure redemption. We want the whole world to turn into the kingdom of Hashem. And the Jews will be redeemed and come back to Israel. Not talking about, my boss should give me a raise. I should get into graduate school. Well, completely, this is the high point. The high point is the Jew gets carried away with the shofar. We're getting carried away with Jewish history, the sweep of Jewish history. We're all part of it. So that's one way of looking at it. The Rav of Soloveitchik, he had another way of looking at it. He said that if you look at all of these things, let's say Matan Torah, or when Mashiach will come, it says that it's a shofar, which the advent of God's presence. God appears at Har Sinai, the shofar. And so like a trumpet blows when a king comes in. So God appears in the future by the great redemption of the future. So it's a prayer. Rabbi Soloveitchik said the prayer is to actually see God, to get that revelation. Like you had Har Sinai, let there be another revelation of the redemption of Mashiach. That's how he takes it. It no question, it's the sweep of Jewish history and leading to redemption, the final redemption, and this is the prayer. So either it's just that simple redemption, that Jewish history come to its final destination, or do you want to emphasize the Shechina, the Gilui of the Shechina, the appearance of the Shechina is the goal, which is correct. It's the redemption is for the Jewish people. It would be a much better time. You don't have to worry about anything, but it would also be a very special time of God's will be revealed, so we won't have we'll be close to Hashem. That's what it is. So basically, you want to look at the three blessings of Malchus, Achron, and Shofros. Malchus is Rosh Hashanah, is a day when the Melech Hashem appears in the world as a Melech, and we recognize this Malchus and we accept it. So Chronos, Hashem runs the world, and we accept that and we ask for good decisions, especially for the nation of Israel. And finally, Shofros is Jewish history going to redemption, and God will reappear. People will know him first-hand way, not just theoretically, but it will be a real experience of Hashem. So basically, there's a famous Jewish philosopher called Albo. He wrote a book where he says that there are three basic principles of the Torah. Rambam has 13. Ani Mamon, Albo has 3. The three of these three blessings, first of all, Hashem created the world, and he is king, he's all-powerful. That's the first blessing, Malchus. Hashem is continuously involved in the world, and judges, punishes, rewards people, and wants the world to be a good place, and has an interaction with people, and especially with the Jewish people. That's called Hashgacha Pratis. That's the second blessing, Zichronos. And finally, the third blessing is that the world as we know it is not static. This world is a dynamic world going through a process where it will evolve into a better world. That's be it. The third principle of the Torah, he says, is B'yis HaMashiach. That's Shofros. That's a big chiddush. All three are big chiddushim for the Goyim. You know, the culture today is so far away from these three basic Jewish ideas of the Torah. But especially, I think the culture today is so far, far away from this, it's incredible to what extent the Gentile world has gone away from, the Christians had some of it, Christians, but this is a post-Christian world. This is just nothing, just do what you want, and there's no morality, no belief, nothing. So to them it's totally foreign. They don't have any clue. There's no question about it. Okay, so